all is not well at AOPA. EASA proposes new rules on pilot fatigue, and the DFC-90 autopilot is certified for the Cessna 182. This is Aero News for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. In an exclusive investigative report appearing on the Monday edition of Aero News, it appears that all is not well at 421 Aviation Way, AOPA's headquarters. Over the course of the last few months, and in particular under the direction of current President Craig Fuller, AOPA is dealing with some tough issues and reportedly losing ground, some say rapidly. ANN has received growing and credible and/or substantiated reports of member disillusionment, the pullout of major donors, the loss of senior personnel, an alleged downward trend in AOPA's influence in Washington, spending controversies, staff morale issues, and an increasing insistence in making money while the once well-defined mission to overall seems to be off-target, confused, and muddled. A careful but strongly worded letter by several of aviation's most notable companies has taken AOPA to task for actions they see as needlessly and wrongfully competing with private industry. The letter says, in part, quote, "We believe AOPA products and initiatives that detract from the organization's main goals are bad for members and the industry in general. And as advertisers, we feel our financial contributions are furthering these initiatives that will ultimately compete with our own products. Essentially, we are funding a competitor," end quote. Within hours of the receipt of the letter, one of the signatories, Sporty's Pilot Shop, was fired from its multi-year AOPA marketing program and told to pack its bags, while the organization has apparently decided not to meet with the letter's authors as a group, but did seem to indicate that they might meet some of them one at a time. The European Aviation Safety Agency has published its proposal to amend the current EU rules on flight and duty time limitations and rest requirements for commercial air transport. Released in a final proposal known as an opinion, the proposed rules contain more than 30 safety improvements compared to current requirements and introduce new limitations to the way crews can be scheduled. The opinion takes full account of the fact that fatigue is one of the main factors affecting human performance and makes no provision for increased pilot flight hours. On the contrary, allowed duty periods at night are reduced, rest for flights with time zone crossings is significantly increased, and new rules are introduced for limiting crew standby. These FTL rules are the first step in a fully transparent rulemaking process with unprecedented scientific input and public consultation. More than 50 scientific studies were analyzed, while all concerned stakeholder groups, including flight and cabin crew organizations, airlines, and member state representatives, were consulted throughout the process. The opinion will now enter the legislative process. It will be finalized by the European Commission and then must be approved by member states with parliamentary scrutiny. The new rules are expected to be adopted into EU law after mid-2013 and fully implemented by the end of 2015. The FAA has granted an STC to Avadyne Corporation for the installation of their DFC-90 digital autopilot in Cessna 182 series aircrafts when interfaced with the Evolution Pro primary flight display from Aspen Avionics. This is the first in a series of DFC-90 certifications in aircraft with the Aspen PFD. Follow-on certifications are expected to include the Beechcraft Bonanza and Baron series. In addition to the C-182 series, the DFC-90 is currently certified in Cirrus SR-20, SR-22, and Piper's PA-46 Matrix and Mirage aircraft equipped with Avadyne's Integra displays. Pricing for the DFC-90 for twin and turbine aircraft will start at $14,995. Aspen Evolution Pro PFDs are priced starting at $10,180 plus installation. The software unlock for integrating the DFC-90 is priced at $19.95, labor not included, and requires version 2.6 software. Aspen currently holds an approved model list supplemental type certificate for their Evolution Pro PFD on a wide range of aircraft. The Society of Aviation and Flight Educators has announced that its pilot proficiency project will be available during next week's AOPA summit. Conceived by SAFE in 2010, the upcoming project in Palm Springs will be a cooperative effort between SAFE, Redbird Flight Simulations, and AOPA. SAFE's Pilot Proficiency Project provides forums and simulator training sessions that address key safety of flight issues. During the summit, however, only the simulator portion will be offered. Training sessions will be offered on a first-come, first-served basis on Thursday from 10 a.m. to 5 and Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Slots are limited, so interested pilots are urged to sign up early during the event. Founded in 2009, SAFE represents nearly 700 of the industry's top aviation educators, including the majority of master instructors, as well as numerous local, regional, and national General Aviation Award winners. FAA and American Airlines officials are inspecting two American Airlines Boeing 757s that had rows of passenger seats come loose from the floor during flight over the past several days. The airline said it has grounded its other six 757s as a precaution. Both aircraft had recently had maintenance overhauls completed at a contract facility, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, though airline mechanics reportedly reworked some of the seats after that maintenance. The FAA says more than a dozen rows of seats on one of the airplanes were not properly secured after being removed from the aircraft. Maintenance issues are being cited as one reason for a recent spate of cancellations of American flights as it continues to work through contentious labor issues with its pilots. American Airlines says it was cooperating fully with the FAA in the investigation. When Aero News continues, it's round two for an Oshkosh Aviation Industrial Park. Space station resupply missions will soon be made in America. And 50 years ago today, Wally Schirra rocketed skyward aboard Sigma 7.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, October the 3rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. The county executive of Winnebago County, Wisconsin, said Thursday that he was again proposing a partnership with the city of Oshkosh to create an aviation industrial park next to Whitman Regional Airport. A similar proposal, offered in February, failed when county board did not pass the authority to borrow the money to purchase the necessary land by the required three-quarters majority. The newspaper, The Northwestern, reports that the new proposal would earmark $1 million from the county reserve fund to be included in the county's proposed 2013 budget. That would require only a simple majority of the 36-member board to pass. County Executive Mark Harris said the plan was a way to shrink the county's investment in the project while increasing the city's stake in the industrial park. He said the existing infrastructure and planned green space would be attractive to potential tenants of the property. The county property would be adjacent to the airport, meaning it would not be subject to through-the-fence restrictions by the FAA. Harris said that would be important in negotiating leases with potential tenants. The city's portion of the property would be across a yet-to-be-built road and geared more toward general industry that would support aviation and associated industries. The proposal would have to be approved by both the Winnebago County Board and the Oshkosh Common Council. Orbital Sciences Corporation Monday rolled out the first stage of its Antares rocket to the launch pad of the nation's newest spaceport, the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport at Wallops Island, Virginia. While in Florida, Space Exploration Technologies, or SpaceX, moves ahead with preparations for an October 7th launch to the International Space Station for NASA's first commercial resupply services mission. These developments mark progress in returning space station resupply missions to American soil. With the rollout of the Antares rocket, Orbital continues toward a series of tests at the launch pad that will lead to a planned flight test later this year. The company will also fly a demonstration mission to the space station to test both the Antares rocket and Cygnus cargo spacecraft in the coming months. The milestones will be completed prior to beginning formal cargo delivery missions to the space station under NASA's CRS agreement. Sunday, SpaceX conducted a successful static fire test of its Falcon 9 rocket. The test was part of a full dress rehearsal in preparation for the first of 12 contracted flights by the company to resupply the space station following a successful demonstration mission in May. The October 7th launch is scheduled for 8:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. On the morning of October the 3rd, 1962, at 07:15:11 a.m., Mercury Atlas 113D lifted off from Cape Canaveral. Sigma 7, with Wally Schirra on board, was lofted into a 176 by 100 statute mile orbit that took him around the Earth once every 88.9 minutes. The flight of Sigma 7 was the first to go beyond the three-orbit plan. Schirra actually flew six orbits and was first to land and be recovered in the Pacific Ocean, not the Atlantic. His re-entry was so close to his landing target that the crew of his recovery ship, the USS Kearsarge, saw his capsule's contrail in the sky and heard its sonic booms. Wally Schirra went on to command Gemini 6 and fly the first rendezvous in space by flying in formation with Gemini 7. Later, he went on to command the first flight of an Apollo spacecraft, Apollo 7, just 6 years after his Mercury flight. Schirra was the only man to fly Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo spacecraft. He retired from NASA after the Apollo 7 mission, but remained a favorite of almost everyone who was involved in or a follower of space flight. He passed away on May 3, 2007. To borrow a line from The Right Stuff, on this day, 50 years ago, Wally Schirra flew higher, farther, and faster than any other pilot to that time. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.